This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Friday, September 3rd, 2021. And today will be better than yesterday. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home in New York. And Taylor, little holiday weekend coming up. You must be excited.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is the final of the big three holidays for me. You know, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day. So one of my favorites, going to do a little, going to smoke some meat tomorrow, some chicken wings, a little pit beef for college football. Excited for Dodgers-Giants this weekend. This is a baseball podcast. So, yeah, this is. I'm looking forward to just relaxing. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going out. I'm getting on a plane on Saturday morning, flying out to San Francisco. So excited to see, you know, the third game of that series. That'll be a lot of fun. The Dodgers and Giants playing for first place. And then I get to land on red eye on Monday morning. The traffic shouldn't be too bad. Coming back from JFK and then probably a little wiffle ball later in the day with my son.
Very nice. We should mention no show on Monday, as is Labor Day tradition. So you can maybe get a little relaxing in on Monday after working hard.
Yeah, we'll pick it up on Tuesday. We got a lot of good shows coming up and great guests coming up in the weeks ahead. The New York Mets placed acting general manager Zach Scott on administrative leave. Sandy Alderson has gone back to assuming the general manager responsibilities. This is after Scott was arrested on a DWI charge in New York earlier this week. Now that's off the field. On the field, the Mets continue to do good stuff. Dominic Smith came to the plate in a big spot in the bottom of the seventh yesterday.
Hit hard and it's off the glove of Aguilar. Fair ball. McNeil will score. Mazzica is around second, heading to third. Sanchez's throw, not in time. He slides in safely. RBI single, Dom Smith. The Mets take the lead 4-3 here in the bottom of the seventh.
The unmistakable voice of Ed Coleman on WCBS. And by the way, I should just mention, you know, we want to send best wishes to Howie Rose, the longtime radio voice of the New York Mets. He's going through some medical procedure this week. He announced that on Twitter earlier in this week. One of the great guys in the sport, and we wish him well as we move forward. That's five straight wins for the New York Mets. The Phillies playing the Nationals, and the Phillies were down 6-0 in this game, and they came back.
1-2 pitch. Swung on, grounded sharply right through the second baseman into right field. One run will score. Here comes Galvis. He will score. And the Phillies come all the way back, and they've tied it up. It's 6-6 here in the top of the eighth inning.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a ground ball hit towards second. Garcia backs up. He's got it. Thought about home. Throws to second, but that's all they're going to get. Odubel will reach first base, and the Phillies have the lead. Marchand scores on the ground out by Odubel as Luis Garcia got indecisive, and then he cost himself any chance at a double play.
Scott Fransky, the play-by-play man, 94 WIP. The Phillies win that game 7-6. They have now scored 163 runs in the eighth inning or later this season. That's the most in the National League, second in MLB. To repeat that number, 163 runs in the eighth inning or later. You know who leads? The Tampa Bay Rays with 191. It's not even close. But the Phillies win, the Mets win. And the Braves also had a good day in Colorado with help from Adam Duvall.
Swing and a drive. Duvall, long home run. Wow, onto the concourse level. You don't see many go that far in that ballpark.
Not in a game. You see that in BP.
Wow.
Look at that, 477.
That's right. That's what they measured. That was Chip Carey, Jeff Francoeur on the Braves television network. Taylor, if I told you today that Adam Duvall was second in the National League in home runs with 30, what would you say?
Whoa, did not expect that. I know he's been hot recently, but second, damn.
I know. I looked it up this morning, and I give credit to my son because he was telling me early in the year, we got to trade for Duvall. We got to trade for Duvall. He's a big Braves fan. So the all teams hold serve in the National League East, the Braves in first, Phillies two games behind, the Mets five games behind, the A's and the Tigers. And Jed Lowry, Mark Canna gave Oakland a big lead in the top of the first.
Here's the pitch by Manning now, and that swung on a high fly ball. Left center field, Grossman going back to the wall. It's gone, and Lowry, it's a three-run home run to left center. Top of the first inning, shot by Jed, and the A's have an early 3-0 lead. And now the 2-2 pitch to Canna. And Mark hits a high fly, right field. Reyes back, he's to the track. He'll watch it fly. And for the A's, it's back-to-back and a 4-0 lead in the first.
The A's would build an 8-0 lead, and the Tigers would come back, but the A's would hold on and win 8-6. That sound from A's cast, the voice of Ken Korak. Add the Chicago Cubs to the list of major league teams who have issued a COVID-19 vaccine mandate for their non-playing employees. Sources told Jesse Rogers on Thursday, those employees have to be fully vaccinated by October 4th when staff return to their offices for the offseason. On this Friday, a reminder, college football is back and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
All right, Buster, many, many things to promote on the college football angle. Of course, you've got the ESPN College Football Podcast, 5 episodes loaded for you today to get ready for college football tomorrow. Stanford Steve and the Bear, they're back. They combed through all the week one lines to find you some big fat winners. Check them out wherever you get your podcasts. We have 2 games on ESPN Radio this weekend. Saturday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, we've got Dodgers at Giants. Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, we have Dodgers at Giants again on ESPN Radio. If you are not watching our pal Buster on Sunday Night Baseball.
Oh, you will be. You will be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're excited. Big matchup in the NL West this weekend. And then one last thing, ESPN Plus subscribers, you can join an ESPN Plus Fantasy Football League right now for a chance to win $250,000. Sweepstakes is U.S. only, 18 or older, no purchase necessary. Visit ESPN.com/ESPN Plus football rules for full details and official rules.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus Chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11 ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All aboard. It's the Rabbit Train with Carl Ravitch.
Carl Ravitch, play-by-play man for ESPN. Of course, the host of Baseball Tonight. Rabbit, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. We've got great races. We've got good games coming up. It's September, and the temperature down here, we're sort of towards the shore in Connecticut. It's about 72, so it feels good. Feels like playoff baseball.
Yeah, it does. I got up this morning, you know, walked outside to take the recyclables out, and you're like, oh, there it is. There's fall. Fall arrived. Love you know, it. The rain is all cleared out, and now fall's coming, and we got playoff baseball a month away. So you're right. There was definitely that feeling. All right, last week, you got to play Who Wants to Be a Billionaire? And you got to be Mets owner Steve Cohen. And I just want to let you know, Rabbi, you had a really bad week.
Yeah, I know. Money can't buy happiness, Buster. And I wasn't too happy with the way things turned out. Although the team played a little better towards the end of the week. But yeah, as headaches go, we bought a lot this week.
Yeah, we saw yesterday they placed Zach Scott, their acting general manager, on administrative leave. The guy they hired to be the general manager, Jared Porter, was banned from baseball for sexual harassment. Tell me if you're Steve Cohen today, what you're thinking about, what you're going to do going forward, besides watching this team and hoping that they can overcome the deficit in the National League East by continuing to play well.
Well, I think two things. One, I'm thinking that as a fan, lifelong fan, I now have the benefit of being on the inside and realizing this is a lot more difficult and challenging than I really thought it was going to be. It's one thing to sit in the stands and have the best seats and rip the players or the organization or ownership for the way things are going. And now you realize I'm responsible. And right now, things aren't going well at all on the playing front, on the PR front. Secondly, and more importantly, I'm looking ahead and I'm doing pretty much anything I possibly can do to get Theo Epstein to run this team. And I've seen a lot of language about John Daniels and others. And with all due respect to those guys, and again, I don't want to cut off their legs before they get an opportunity in a place like New York to win, but they haven't won. And the guy that's won in two big cities is Theo Epstein. And he's, to me, shown the steadiest hand and the ability to overcome curses that have been a lot longer than the New York Mets. That's sort of my focus right now. And I have the ability, or seemingly, on the business side to do what I want and to have great success. You know, you surround yourself with the best people. I got to make sure that I take the best run I can at Theo Epstein and get him in here to run this thing.
So Jeff Passan was on the podcast yesterday, and he and I agree that we don't think Theo at this stage in his in his career is going to be interested in the Mets situation. I'm guessing the one way that Steve Cohen can try to compel him is to offer him like the Hamptons, right? And Montauk, and that basically is what
Theo already has. I think Theo already has Nantucket. I don't think he's interested in those things. I think he's interested in. I know he's interested in challenges. This appears to be, Boston was a huge challenge. Chicago, two-team city, huge challenge. All sorts of, baggage that went with both of those organizations. There's a whole bunch of baggage here, and I think there's something to, being the guy that took down, in a sense, the Yankees from being the headline team in New York and rendering them sort of second-class citizens in that city relative to my team, the Mets. So, look, whether he's interested or not, I know that there's a competitive fire that has allowed him to succeed at most of the things that he's done, certainly on the baseball field. Here's another one. So I think you got to present it to him. And I'm sure he initially says no, but there are ways that you can convince people to come off of that stance. If you create the right environment, if you put certain things in front of them, to me, he's the guy. And I think we've seen this in other fields. There's certain people who succeed at certain things. He's one of them. And it's a short list.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And look, Theo would add all the leverage in the world. You know, who knows? Maybe in his conversation with Steve Cohen, if he ever had it, he might say, hey, Steve, love your passion, love your ambition, and please close down your social media accounts.
Well, that may be. I mean, again, you're right. The leverage part of that is absolutely true. And there is no question that having some owner like that, and look, Mark Cuban was similar, and they've done okay, too. There's no question that that's a factor, but that can be addressed in a conversation.
Yeah, and I wrote Theo Epstein, we talked about here. He's been talked about in other venues. I wrote the other day about David Stearns, who's a year away from his free agency.
Sure.
That's the difference between Theo and David Stearns, is that Theo's a free agent right now, in theory, and David Stearns is not. And Steve Cohen would have to go through Mark Adnazio, the owner of the Brewers.
I'm going to say, whether it's Daniels, Stearns, others, I still, at some point, you have to look at the resume. And while one resume may say, consistent winner, small market, didn't have the big budget, and maybe Andrew Friedman is another guy who has proven you can win in Tampa. And now that I have a big payroll, I've proven I can win in Los Angeles. I need... If I've invested all this money in the Mets, I need to know that I'm bringing someone in who has won a championship before and is young enough not to say, well, I won it in 1979, 1986, 1996. I need to know I just did this. I want to bring that person in. And those other names haven't done that. They haven't won a championship.
You and I get asked all the time by baseball fans, who do you root for? And I always say, look, I don't care who wins in terms of teams. I hope good things happen for good people, and you root for the best story. And this weekend is an example of that. We got the Giants and the Dodgers. tied this morning with 31 days to go in the season. And I really hope, because we have the Giants and Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball this weekend, that they split the next two games and that they're tied for first place when we get to Sunday. What are you seeing here?
Well, I'm seeing the horse that everyone knew is likely to cross the finish line first when the season ends as now running right next to me. And I'm concerned because I realize that the horsepower that Dodger car has is greater than the horsepower I have. And I've done this all year as the Giants with less talent than the Dodgers have. And I'm not going anywhere. Similarly, you know, we talk about this a lot. They're the Rays. Like, the Giants are going to be in the postseason, and they're going to be a pain in the ass to the Dodgers, and they're going to play hard against everybody, and they're going to win probably more games than they lose down the stretch. But the Giants have to be looked at as the lesser of the two teams, and that may serve them really well. And they may have the best catcher or one of the best catchers that ever played the game on their team. They have a lot of great things going for them. They do not have the talent level of the Dodgers. They don't have the number of players of the Dodgers. And eventually, the bigger, stronger, better win. So, yeah, I think it's a great fight. I love the Rocky part of this story. That's who they are. And Rocky won some, and they're going to win some. And they may end up living longer than the Dodgers do, but in this race, there's too many horses underneath that hood to think that the Dodgers are not going to eventually overtake them.
Yeah, for example, in Sunday night's game, the Dodgers are starting Walker Buehler, who's a candidate for the mm-hmm. Cy Young Award, and the Giants are going with an opener. Right. You know, just one example of sort of the depth of the two teams relative to each other. Speaking of Buehler, I want to ask you about the award races. MVP in the American League, MVP National League, the two Cy Young Awards. I think you'll second my motion that Shohei Ohtani could not play another game for the rest of the year, and he'd still win American League MVP. Yes?
100%.
Okay. So let's talk about the three races that I think are pretty much wide open with a month to play. National League MVP, National League Cy, American League Cy. I mentioned Walker Buehler being a candidate for the Cy Young Award in the National League. I'm going to ask you, Carl, not to predict who's going to win, but as of the morning of September 3rd, who you see as the front runner. And there seems to be a bunch of them. You could throw Max Scherzer in, who's been so great since he joined the Dodgers. You know, and I talked, I think, a month ago about how it looked like Zach Wheeler was the front runner. Well, he's dropped back now. Brandon Woodruff's in that conversation.
Yep.
Corbin Burnes is a really interesting candidate at this moment. I tweeted out some numbers about him this morning. 139 innings, just five homers allowed. An opponent slugging percentage of .273. He leads the majors in strikeout-to-walk ratio. He's got the best walk ratio per nine innings in the National League. But there's one thing that might work against him. Walker Buehler has thrown 176 innings. That's 37 more innings than what Corbin Burnes has. And Walker Buehler has been unbelievably consistent this year. I think he's got 24 quality starts already. He's going to wind up with over 200 innings. Where do you see the National League Cy Young Award in terms of who the front runner is today?
It's so close, Buster. I mean, literally on the day after Wheeler pitches, if he has one of the games that he's had a lot this year, he becomes the guy. I watched Corbin Burnes the other night. The next day, I don't know how you vote against Corbin Burnes. His strikeouts are ridiculous. His three pitches are great. His fielding independent pitching is as good as Pedro Martinez's was in 99. The day after Walker Buehler pitches, say Monday, let's say he shuts the Giants down. He's the guy that is separated. That's how close it is. So it's literally the next step can put that guy ahead. I think that DeGrom winning recently eliminates many of the older age statistics that we've used and where you cited innings pitched. If there's enough innings pitched to qualify, then it would be that guy. To me, currently, Wheeler is probably a hair ahead, but it's so close. If I were to say who's going to win it, I think Burnes wins it in the end. I think Wheeler's currently the front runner, but by Monday morning, Buehler could have jumped in front of both of them given an incredible performance. I just think Buehler eventually gets penalized for the team he's on and the offense he has. And that's why I have Wheeler and Burns ahead of him. But again, any one of those three could win it. And if DeGrom were healthy enough to get the innings, he'd probably be the guy.
Oh, yeah. There's no, I mean, if DeGrom had continued on the trajectory, he would have won going away. But that's not going to happen. I agree with you. I think Burns, as of this morning, is the front runner. I think Walker Buehler's two. And I think that Zach Wheeler's three. All right. National League MVP. I think a couple of weeks ago, the conventional wisdom was that if Fernando Tatis Jr. came back from his shoulder injury, he would be the guy to beat for the NL MVP. With other guys like Trey Turner and Max Muncy, Juan Soto, Bryce Harper, Freddie Freeman. It just seems like there's so many candidates. I don't know if it's necessarily Fernando Tatis Jr.'s award to lose at this point. What's your read on that?
I think he has the lead. I think the disappointing play of that team, I think his injuries are going to affect him, but I think he does have the lead. I think the other fascinating guy in all this, and I know we've talked about it before, is Harper, because there now appears to be sort of that next level. And we've all been around baseball long enough to know that once you get through July and August and you realize, oh my gosh, we're in this race and I've had a really good year. If there is another gear, and it may be going from 4 to 5, it's not a huge jump, but it's a jump that we start to see some more of that power from Bryce Harper. We've seen his on base. We've seen him, try to reduce his strikeouts. To me, he's the most fascinating guy. And I think if anybody catches him, with all due respect to Votto, and the Reds have been great and he's been great, it's going to be Harper for what he does on both sides. And one of the things we point out with Ohtani is Ohtani's speed. Let's see what happens in September if we start to see Harper do what he did when he was winning the MVP, which is to run a little bit more and steal some more bases. I've just not been a huge Phillies fan because I think there's something odd about them. But I've been surprised at how they've hung around in here, especially with the Braves, who look like they were ready to find another gear, that he's going to be the guy behind Tatis and, if not, overtake Tatis.
Yeah, that's interesting. And another thing I think that's going to work for Harper potentially is the fact that I think because the other races, and we'll see what happens with the Giants and Dodgers, but I think there's going to be a lot of focus on the National League East race between the Phillies and Braves. And I think that.
Yeah. And lastly, and just quickly too, Buster, the schedule, we've harped on it, and I know sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but that's why Wheeler has a really good chance too. The Philly schedule still is favorable more than the others.
90 seconds. Give me American League Cy Young Award in terms of how you read that. I see Gerrit Cole as a front runner.
Yeah, I do too. I wish Rodon didn't miss time. I love him. I think Lynn is great. I think they cancel each other out. I put Cole there, and then maybe, and I wish the Blue Jays just had a better staff than Robbie Ray, but it's Cole. And then to me, it's probably Robbie Ray who's second. Lynn's got the ERA, but boy, the strikeouts and ERA that Robbie Ray has on a team that just doesn't win as often as I wish they would, behind Cole, it's Robbie Ray for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I also think it's going to help Cole, playing on the Yankees, and they'll be in the conversation because we're going to, in about 2 weeks, if the Red Sox and Yankees continue to trend toward playing each other in the wild card game, obviously we know what that matchup is going to be.
That's
Cole
so good.
Against Chris Sale. And, that conversation will help as well.
Without
All right, Ravi, thank you. I hope you have a better week as a billionaire.
Hey, in the end, I'm putting my head on my pillow and I'm a billionaire. I'm doing okay.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Todd Radom is the chief executive of our weekly quiz. He's a graphic artist whose work can be seen on ball fields all across America, all around the world, or you can go to his website, toddradom.com. Todd, how are you doing this week?
Doing well, Buster. Happy Friday. Happy almost holiday weekend.
So I was reading this morning that Derek Jeter says he, despite having a year, what is it, almost a year and a half or a little bit more than a year and a half of advance notice, he hasn't quite finished his Hall of Fame speech. So it's good to know that Derek procrastinates in something in his life, you know?
Well, you know, he's got some things to do in Miami, I guess. I don't think he's lacking for things to do, Buster. So maybe he gets a pass, but I don't know if, you know, the day comes that you are inducted, you would probably take some time to write your speech, I'd imagine.
Yeah, right. I'm not holding my breath on that. I do think the phrase Mr. Tory will be in there at some point, right?
And I would imagine there would be some reference to the core four, to Mr. Steinbrenner, to the Yankee fan base. And Mr. Tory will probably, I mean, who knows who will be there given the state of the world right now. But it'll be an exciting day for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. How different do you think it'll be?
Well, I think it is going to be different. I mean, the prospect of Derek Jeter going to the Hall of Fame made everyone in Cooperstown salivate. And I'm talking about people who own businesses and restaurants and, you know, all of the quaint inns and so forth. But the crowd's going to be diminished. It's still going to be outsized, but I'm sure it's not going to be what it could have been. So I'm sure there's some disappointment there. But at the same time, I'm sure that they are grateful that they're having an induction, as you know, brokered as it might be. But you know, America's most beautiful village. There's no question about it. You and I have been there together. It's a special place to visit always, and I think it represents some hope and optimism that this is happening right now.
You're right. They were salivating, you know, about a Derek Jeter induction. I remember there was actually speculation. This is pre-COVID. Speculation within the industry that they were going to move the induction ceremony to Yankee Stadium because they expected so many people to be there. You know, that was just something that was mused over. I don't think it was ever taken seriously, but that's how much attention there would have been in Cooperstown with a normal induction. Anyway, yeah. maybe that's the way it'll be when Tim Kirchen, you know, eventually makes his speech at the Hall of Fame, right?
And how great will that be? How enthusiastic will that be? A great moment in Cooperstown. I can't wait.
Yeah, the odds of tears flowing from Tim and everybody else in our industry during that time are, you know, 110%.
And that's what Cooperstown's all about, right? I mean, it's this mythical place. Baseball wasn't invented in Cooperstown, but the fact that there's a Hall of Fame there, and I always say it, Buster, it is a place that people have to work to get to. It's not easily accessible.
No.
And in a way that makes it that much more special. And for somebody like Tim, yeah, I think that, right, I just, all of that, can't wait for all of it.
Let's get to this week's Forgotten Franchise. Who we got?
So, Buster, this week we are going to take a look at a 19th century dynasty, the St. Louis Browns, originally called the Brown Stockings, who were members of the American Association and played there for the league's entire span from 1882 to 1891. The Browns moved over to the National League when the AA folded, and we now know them as the St. Louis Cardinals. The Browns were colorful, brash, and a winning team with four straight pennants and a pre-modern World Series in victory in 1886. They faced off against Chicago in two of those World Series, thus setting the tone for the fierce rivalry that still exists between St. Louis and Chicago more than 130 years later. The Browns are remembered for their festive atmosphere that surrounded their home ballpark, complete with Sunday games, alcohol sales, amusement rides, cheap tickets, and giveaways, all part of a concerted appeal to working class fans, many of them immigrants, and a sharp, sharp contrast to the prim and proper National League. The club was led by innovative German-born owner Chris von der Eye, a prototype of sorts for Bill Veeck and Charlie Finley many decades later. Van der Ei erected a larger-than-life statue of himself, Buster, outside of the team's ballpark. This featured an open-air beer garden in right field, complete with handball courts and lawn bowling, all originally part of the park's fair territory, believe it or not. According to Saber, ground rules were eventually changed so that a ball hit into the beer garden was a home run. Buster, we can only close our eyes and try to imagine right fielders chasing after long line drives, racing through the beer garden, stumbling over picnic tables, sending steins of frothy St. Louis lager flying everywhere. The Browns were managed by first baseman Charles Comiskey, who later went on to own the Chicago White Sox. Comiskey assembled a powerhouse club in 1885. They went 79-33 and won the first of their four straight league championships. Safely ensconced in the NL, the club was sold in 1899 and were renamed the Perfectos. The following year, the team's red-trimmed uniforms inspired yet another nickname, the Cardinals. But today, we salute the St. Louis Browns, the Brown Stockings, this week's forgotten franchise.
Boy, these presentations you do, really, they do remind you how incestuous the whole sport has been since the beginning.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You talk about one thing begetting another. And yeah, there's almost too much to unpack, but we try to keep it contained here.
No, it was excellent. I do have a question for you, and it's unfair because I might be asking you to review 130-year-old copyright law. I was curious about, they're known as the Browns, and that franchise becomes the Cardinals. And then in 1902, the Brewers become the Browns, right? Would this franchise have had the right to tell the Browns in 1902, sorry, you can't own that name. We're not using that anymore, but that's in our history. Does my question make sense?
In other words, it does. And yet you're thinking about the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens and the NBA's Charlotte Hornets and New Orleans Pelicans and all of that slippery stuff. Nah, it wasn't a thing then. This is what I always say. This is a time when nobody made stuff. You could not buy a St. Louis Perfecto shirt in 1890 something, right? So none of it was enforceable. Nobody cared about any of this stuff, but we talk about history every week with this forgotten franchises, Buster, and some of that slippery slope stuff can be very confusing, right?
Oh,
who
yeah,
owns no. what? Who owns the rights to what? We talked about the Baltimore Orioles of the American League, the original Baltimore Orioles a little while back, and the Yankees involvement. It's all very confusing, but you and I, we try to clarify it as best as possible.
Right, which is why the Cleveland baseball franchise is like, look, we're not even going to get into that. We're just going to call ourselves the Guardians.
That's right. That's right. But we do know that this is, you know, this franchise does have a lineage that starts in 1901. The Cleveland Blues, the Cleveland Naps, the Cleveland, all of that. And, you know, we look to the future. But history is always interesting, if sometimes confusing.
So a question I'm going to ask you next week, I've actually been working on it this week for a piece that I'm doing. When is the exact moment the Indians become the Guardians, and what does that all entail? Like all the details of things that have to be turned over. It's been a fun conversation with some people within the Cleveland organization this week, but you and I will kick that around next week.
Let's get to
this week's quiz.
All right, guys, here we go. Week 25. This man is the all-time leader among pitchers in wins above replacement. Is it Cy Young, Greg Maddux, Roger Clemens, or Walter Johnson? The all-time leader among pitchers in wins above replacement. Cy Young, Greg Maddux, Roger Clemens, or Walter Johnson?
Wow. What you got, Taylor?
Todd, always bring the thunder with these questions. I'll go Gregory Maddux.
You know, here's the thing is that Todd has been lecturing me in recent weeks, like, don't overthink it. Okay. Don't overthink it. You have a situation here where you have Walter Johnson had over 400 career victories and Cy Young has almost 100 more wins than that. Okay. These were back in the days when guys would throw both ends of doubleheaders. The guy who would seem to be the obvious choice would be the guy with 511 wins, who the pitching award is named for in Cy Young. That's my instinct, because he just pitched so much more than anybody else. He probably had a chance to accumulate more numbers than anybody else. And that's who I'm going with, Cy Young.
Well, once again, Buster, you overthought this, because the answer is Walter Johnson. You're both wrong. Walter Johnson's wins above replacement, 164.8. Cy Young, very close behind at 163.6. And then wow. Roger Clemens, and then Greg Maddux. So, yeah, that's what we got.
Wow. Well, I know someone who would have gotten that right. Tim Kirchner went to Walter Johnson High School.
Absolutely. Rockville, Maryland, baby. You know it.
Oh, hell yeah.
There you go. All right, Todd. Thanks for doing this.
All right, guys. Thanks, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
All righty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for a Friday heading into the holiday weekend. Daryl, I don't want to botch Daryl's last name, but at Daryl V on Twitter, Daryl writes in, Buster, please let us know when the Baseball Tonight podcast will return, as it has lately been converted into the New York Mets podcast. Daryl, little sass there. It's the biggest story of baseball. We got to talk about it.
Daryl, we follow the news.
We'll move on. James Shanahan at Shanny STL. Shanny writes in, does Zach Scott's DWI.
Oh, wait, was that news this week? Zach Scott, DWI arrest, acting general manager of the team, one of the biggest markets in baseball? Yes, it was.
It's only been everywhere. Come on, Daryl. As I was saying, does Zach Scott's DWI arrest indicate that the acting GM for the Mets will be the first among many scapegoats for the Mets 2021 season? I don't think this really counts as scapegoating if they fire him. I think it might be, you know, within, it's reasonable for them to do that, I think.
Yeah, no, a scapegoating thing is like what happened with Larry Rothschild, as pitching coach of the Padres, you know, a team that led the major leagues in ERA as of June 14th. And then, you know, in recent weeks, the team hasn't been playing as well. And so they throw him overboard. Zach Scott created his own problem here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nobody else with him when he had his DWI, and he refused to take, you know, a breathalyzer, refused a blood test. And that's why he was walking out of court yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, this is you can say like maybe this is like endemic of like the dysfunction within the Mets, but like not the reason for their problems on the field. Definitely not. Let's go to Cameron Cunningham to close this out. At 4 Bleacher Tweets, Cameron writes in, I never boo, but if I did, it would only be for personal reasons. I would boo the 17 Astros players, Ryan Braun, if he still played, Manny Machado for dirty plays, and Commissioner Rob Manfred. The cherry on top was the World Series and All-Star Games, booing Manfred. And I got two things I appreciate about Cameron here. He has a code for booing, and he has a burner account specifically to ask one Bleacher Tweet a season. I looked at his account, so respect to Cameron on that, on those 2 points.
That's awesome. I'd be curious to see who Cameron really was behind the burner account. I would say, you know, I thought about this because we had Sarah Langs on, and she said she wouldn't boo. I've never booted a game.
Interesting. I was wondering that.
You know what? I lied. I just remembered back when I was in college and Vanderbilt played against Kentucky. I booed. Never mind.
Get out of here, Big Blue. All right. That does it for Bleacher Tweets for the week. Send them in over the weekend. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah. And stupid Drew Pearson pushed off against the Vikings in the Hail Mary back in 1975. Anyway, that's it for today. My thanks to Carl, Todd, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. One last thing. I want to give a happy birthday to my older sister, Hannah Deming, who is really, really, really old. So that's it for this week. Remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.